Welcome to the Future is Freelance podcast for solopreneurs, digital nomads, slowmads, consultants, remote workers, e-residents, and people living a life without traditional boundaries. We're here for everyone who defies categorization and makes a living and a life their own way. Every other Freelance Friday, we're serving up an audio cocktail of expert tips, inspired insights, and stories from the frontiers of freelancing to help you achieve success with your borderless business, whatever success means to you as you live life on your own terms. Thanks for listening to The Future is Freelance and for being part of the Future of Work revolution. Future is Freelance people, you're getting an extra podcast this week outside of the usual fortnightly rhythm. That's because I just had to share with you my reflections following the Running Remote conference in Lisbon last week. And I wanted to do that while I was still buzzing happily in the afterglow of a wonderful event. And even the return of face-to-face networking events on this scale, it still feels recent enough, for me at least, to be exciting in its own right. And it's always such a pleasure to connect with people you either only see online or who you've only met at events like this kind of thing previously. Some of these people I'd go as far as to count as close friends, and that includes the wonderful Rowena Hennigan, who not only encouraged me to go to Running Remote in the first place, she recommended me for a panel. And Rowena is a true champion of remote work and creator of abundance in this space. And if you want to hear more about her and more from her, then do check out episode 6 of season 1, where she came to talk to us about self-care and looking after yourself as a remote worker. And as I say, Rowena is always the person to encourage other people to step up and get involved and do what's right for them. And it's not that I didn't want to go to Running Remote. It was just that I wasn't totally certain at first about the alignment of the event and my own areas of interest professionally. I started building remote teams over 20 years ago, and I've published books about it. I've consulted on it. But these days, my focus is very much on solopreneurship and freelancing rather than teams. And looking at the published program, I saw that many of the speakers were from large, even global enterprises. It felt very different to my own experiences of remote work presently, which tends to be with startups and independents. So I did wonder whether it would truly be a fit, but I needn't have worried. Remote people are remote people, and they're my people wherever they work. And it was wonderful. The energy, the passion, the curiosity, the commitment to push boundaries and solve problems creatively together. These are the things we share, whatever the scale. That continual questioning of the status quo and the way things have always been done distinguishes the remote advocates and enablers in every workplace. And those in corporate settings simply have different frameworks in which to operate, which brings advantages and disadvantages. So while I travelled hopefully for the connections and the conversations, the content was also incredibly useful and interesting for me in ways I didn't necessarily anticipate. The passion and curiosity of the remote work community, as well as the genuine desire to enable and support and learn from one another, was inspiring and energising. All these enterprising operators came together to share best practice. That was the whole point of Running Remote, to explore learning experiences and to uplift each other's efforts in such an empowering way. I've always loved the way so much good practice is freely and abundantly distributed to others in the remote work community, from the GitLab handbook to the Dropbox Virtual First Toolkit to the Atlassian playbook. I'm proud to say that remote people are my people. And over nearly a quarter of a century of working remotely and building remote teams, for me, it's crucial to reflect on the common themes, the way the context has changed so much, yet the core values and thinking that underpins all of it when it comes to the self-management and intentionality aspects of remote working, that hasn't changed a bit. And for this reason, I was thrilled to see the absolute OG of personal productivity, Mr. David Allen, on the speaker list. I almost wished I'd brought my dog-eared copy of the first UK paperback edition of Getting Things Done along with me, because that book meant so much to me back in the day. In fact, it still does. But Back 20 years ago, I was a young mum, allowed to work from home and struggling with the challenges of isolation, lack of structure, and organising my work and life effectively. All the productivity books, because we only had books back then, seemed irrelevant to my situation, either focused on prioritising and targets in a very salesy environment, or else they were way too abstract, what David Allen would call 50,000 feet stuff about goals and life plans. And the GTD fundamental that everything on your mind needed capturing and processing holistically at the same time and at the same level, that was a revelation. The acceptance that I might have stuff to deal with around a baby and a household, and that this could occupy mental bandwidth during what was supposed to be work time, really helped me integrate my life and work in ways I'd never dreamed would be possible, and it may be more productive and effective in all spheres. David Allen's second book, Making It All Work, just underlined this, because whatever you have to deal with in any aspect of life, it's just more work, it's more stuff you need to get done. You can only compartmentalize it after you've figured out the verbs involved, and you can only release it from your mind once it's safely embedded in your trusted system. So thank you, Mr. Allen. Your work holds up better than ever in our location-independent 2023 world than I ever could possibly have imagined back in the early years of the new millennium, and it was wonderful to hear you speak. Processing my own captured loop of reflect on running remote conference then, my next actions included identifying the key content and conversation themes which most stood out to me and stayed with me. So there are three main areas I want to discuss here. The first is the technology we use to communicate, collaborate, and connect over distance, because this creates the context for everything and enables the way we work as we do. Of course, technology is changing all the time, but the speed of change in recent years is clearly something we must attribute to demand-driven development and the remote revolution of the COVID lockdowns. There is now such a huge range of tools that crafting a bespoke tech stack for collaboration is an art in itself, and it's vitally important that the tool doesn't lead the practice and the work. Well, it really should be the other way around. This is one reason why we need advocacy for remote effectiveness at the very heart of businesses of every size. But whatever you need to get done, the tech is essentially ready. You will find what you need has already been developed and is out there. It's really quite amazing to consider how far we've come. We've solved coordination, communication, and collaboration challenges of remote work in ways that we never dreamed possible in the early days of clunky video conference tools, never mind before that. There are, of course, still exciting changes happening, and there are edges to this development process. I would say that final layer of really spontaneous ambient presence is still very much a work in progress. We're not quite at the point where personal connection and nonverbal communication is guaranteed to be effective in remote, but it's coming fast. I was privileged to participate in a panel led by Tyler Selhorn with Christian Emmanuel Anton from Meet in VR, demonstrating that the spatial internet is creating new dimensions of potential to collaborate over distance in truly bespoke digital environments that could be really anything your imagination can dream up. The spatial internet and all it represents upends traditional spectrums of remote versus in-person, or even of synchronous versus asynchronous working. So watch this space. And I'm so excited about the work going on in this area to truly give us a digital workspace to go and get things done in, and to go and meet with people, to go and work together on things. And it's not going to mean clunky headsets for very much longer, I assure you. Now, we can't talk about technology without being aware of one potential tech elephant in the conference room. And the scale of planning for running remote meant that the keynote schedule was clearly locked down well ahead of the explosive interest in large language models for artificial intelligence, such as ChatGPT, which we've all been profoundly preoccupied with in recent months. What will this do for remote work? And how will we integrate these new tools into our digital environments and workplaces? Well, if the speakers from Running Remote are anything to go by, we'll do so with grace, pragmatism, and positivity, putting the AIs to work for us to overcome the practical challenges that all teams face, while enabling human creativity and intuition to continue to shine. Obviously, every speaker needed to address these issues of AI at some point in their work because it's simply part of the context that we have to assume and take for granted now. But there were some great ideas, there were some great examples being shared of things that people are already doing to incorporate AI and also to mitigate against the potential risks it represents. One example I particularly liked was shared by Ryan Chartrand from X-Team in the opening keynote, in fact. And he talked about how AI tools can listen at scale in collaborative tools in ways that humans simply can't distribute their attention like that. We all love to work out loud in our channels and our collaboration tools, but we do have to filter the noise. And in large organizations, that conversation inevitably gets shared a lot in private channels and conversations between smaller groups. And sometimes there might be insight shared there that could be useful outside of that silo. So the example Ryan gave was of a product person sharing feedback from an external event they attended with their department. And a correctly configured bot could instantly identify that this feedback was likely to also be of value to the events and marketing team, and then take the step of connecting the event attendee with the right person in a different department to share what was so brilliant about the thing that they went to. So super simple, but really effective. And these are the ways that will draw teams together in the remote space in a far more intentional and likely successful way than relying on bumping into them in a lift or by a water cooler just because you happen to share the same building. So artificial intelligence tools have real potential to bridge gaps of distance, culture, expertise and language, and also ability in terms of accessibility in ways that will only enhance our collaboration potential. The second theme, which really stood out for me, was compliance, because we have the technology, one way or another, to work effectively with anyone, anywhere, and to collaborate with the very best person to do the specific piece of work, regardless of their location or yours. But how we contract with them and pay them, that's a very different story. And this one is far from solved at the time of recording. There's clearly significant effort and resource being applied to this problem, and there was a strong presence amongst the employer of record community supporting this conference. Deel, Lano, Workmotion, Blueback Global, Foxhire, Global Made Possible, all of these were supporting and sponsoring, and they all offer slightly different solutions to this vexing conundrum of hiring and contracting across borders. Other pieces of that puzzle include the Estonian e-residency program, with which this podcast remains strongly associated, and of course the plethora of emergent digital nomad visas. Even moonshot projects like Safety Wings Plumia are part of getting rid of these entirely artificial borders which constrain the way that we can work and collaborate together. I'm really reassured that many great minds are committed to figuring this one out for us and finding the right answers which actually work in practice, even as case law is developed. Lawyers like Tara Vazdani and compliance tech solutions like Work From Anywhere. Check out episode 8 of season 2 with John Lee for more on what they're building. Meanwhile, the statutory bodies involved, that is the various governments and tax authorities, will be the slowest to shift on this. They always are. Tech leads, society follows, and institutions lag behind, creating friction for everyone. The taxman will always want paying. Most of us want to pay our fair share, but we want to do so in a meaningful way and in a logical place and without incredibly convoluted processes and red tape. Above all, to make remote work work at scale, enterprises will demand clarity here. And large employers won't want to be forced to compromise on working with the best people simply because those people have the wrong passport or the wrong tax residency. So compliance remains a work in progress, and I have confidence that the future of work community will find a way through this in time. The final theme, which stood out to me, was that of distributed over remote. This is such an interesting one because as a writer, I'm always a little bit obsessed around language and terminology and semantic signifiers. Remote is one of those words which implies a vector or a direction. Remote from where? it makes total sense in the context of a centralized organization where some people, even most of the people, work in a home or a mobile way, and there's a head office, because it implies a definite central point from which all other things radiate out and measure themselves against. It's a bit like, for me, when people talk about going abroad or working overseas. We're all overseas from somewhere, and these terms imply there's an acknowledged starting point from which everything else is regarded as other. So that's an interesting one to unpick in another discussion. But meanwhile, it was great at the conference to see destinations of choice being represented at Running Remote, such as Visit Buenos Aires and Costa del Sol, and of course, Visit Portugal. And these could all be places to put your HQ as much as your workforce in 2023. So the idea of being remote from a centre probably had technological roots as well. And the early idea of teleworking was very much about dialing in to that central point where an on-premise server sat hissing away. But again, that doesn't reflect our present-day distributed cloud-based reality for most of us. Distributed teams and distributed working reflects the mindset of decentralization, of power to the edges, to the community. It feels like a fit with the way many organizations who were among the first to embrace location-independent working were organized in agile and non-hierarchical ways. And furthermore, the term distributed working embraces the concept of hybrid, and this addresses a further source of tension throughout the remote work community. The fact is, many progressive employers who support and champion remote work are simply not 100% remote for all sorts of reasons. Maybe they never will be by preference or design, or maybe they're moving in that direction. But either way, it doesn't mean they can't do the remote aspects of their work well. And for our movement to grow, we need to be inclusive. A presentation from Jen Reimer sharing research results from the Asana Work Innovation Lab confirmed that there's still no clear consensus on what hybrid really even means anyway. And the term reflects a huge spectrum of flexibility along dimensions of location, time, synchronicity, and how teams make decisions. So it truly is, as Jen put it, a choose-your-own-adventure term. And it's also a moving target. Many employers who are, for historical reasons, tied into large office leases anyway, are still figuring out what works best for them and for their teams. And it's essential that the remote work conversation does not exclude them. The idea of inclusivity also extends into the contractual aspect of things, and I've been researching and writing about this recently for the Estonian e-residency department on the theme of blended teams. Instead of a dichotomy of freelancers and consultants on the outside and full-time employees on the inside, we can now consider a broader spectrum of contractual collaboration. From participatory governance via structures like DAOs, which are now possible in Europe via Estonian digital infrastructure, to long-term senior fractional strategic roles. And we have emergent models offering even more potential, such as the distributed ownership proposed by Casey Fenton through his new Upstock venture. For me, I've always felt that freelancers have so much more to offer teams than one-off gigs and engagements. And right now, with so many highly talented people, in tech in particular, having been the victims of recent layoffs, there is so much experience and resource out there to tap. But some of those people will be rightfully wary of committing their income and perhaps visa and residence qualification to another 100% employed position. They might want to explore more flexible options, including their own hustles, especially if they're sitting on a decent payoff for now. So any employer facing a hiring freeze could look to contracting those valuable resources more flexibly instead of losing those functions altogether or relegating them to less senior hands. Not every business role has to chunk out in 40-hour-a-week full-time contracts. And so I'll just leave that plea here to consider the potential for more lasting and strategic positions to be created on a fractional basis. Maybe you're a smaller organization who doesn't presently require a full-time head of remote work, for example, but you need someone who is more than a consultant on a long-term part-time arrangement. So, as I say, I'll just leave that thought here. Meanwhile, going back to remote versus distributed, I don't think that Running Remote will be abandoning their known and invested branding anytime soon, and the word remote work is going to stay with us. But I do hope that the many potential directions of inclusivity the term can embrace will form part of this maturing movement going forwards. All in all, running remote 2023 left us all with so much to think about and consider as we return to the places we're able to choose to live and do our work from, and as we reflect upon how lucky we are to be in this space where so much is happening. The privilege we have to be knowledge workers in 2023 who can make choices about where to live and what work to do, and increasingly about exactly how and when we do it. I'm so grateful to everybody who spoke on the two stages, who networked and explored in the expo, who chatted and connected in the social times, all in the beautiful setting of Sud Lisboa. It's a privilege to be part of this community and the most exciting movement in business and society in living memory. The future is freelance, the future is flexible, the future is distributed, and the future is whatever we make it. Thank you for listening to the Future is Freelance podcast. We appreciate your time and attention in a busy world and your busy life. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with a fellow freelancer. Help us grow this movement of independent entrepreneurs. If you rate and review The Future is Freelance in whatever app you're listening to this right now, or over at futureisfreelance.xyz, then that will help spread the word and help us reach more people who need to hear this message and join the conversation. Together, we can change the world and make sure the future is freelance. This is Maya Middlemiss wishing you success and happiness in your enterprise until our next episode.